Praise God for this song. All of the things I wanted to tell you in my gold nugget, this lady said it in a song. She added music to those words that I wanted to speak to you today. I know that there were some who needed to hear this song. You've struggled. You find it hard to make ends meet. You're wondering how you're going to pay the rent. How will you pay for the schooling for your children? You're wondering, how will you have money for the doctor? Friend, God is the great provider. God has not left us here on our own. Consider the lilies. Consider the sparrows. Are you not worth much more than the sparrows? Are you not worth much more than the lilies of the valley? Yet none of these were clothed or fed by their own hands. I want you to believe that. It's lesson time. Scoot up your chair and lean in. You remember yesterday I was talking about the book that Jesus read, the Old Testament book. I mentioned the fact that that was the only Bible that Jesus read. He didn't read Paul's writings or Peter's writings. He read the writings of his father. And in my lesson yesterday, we'd gotten up to the place where Adam and Eve had sinned. They disobeyed God. God told them not to partake of that one tree. What are the chances with all of the trees that was in that garden that they would let just one tree trip them up? And there's another thing about this tree that caused me to maybe wonder. The tree was in the midst of the garden. If this had been a tree that was forbidden, why was it put in the middle of the garden? Why not put it in an out-of-the-way place? I remember when I was raising my children, if I had something that I didn't want them to mess with, to not even touch, I'd put it out of their sight. I would hide it away somewhere that they could not find it easily. But God didn't do that. He put that forbidden fruit right in the middle of the garden. They were able to look at this fruit often. No doubt they walked by it many times and never decided to take a bite of this fruit. But oh, the devil knew this. The devil knew that without his influence, they would never have taken a bite of that fruit. So he put a plan into operation. He used a serpent. The serpent at that time was a beautiful creature. Even today, I've seen some snakes that were beautiful, but I have never desired to mess with one. Even if they were a talking snake, I wouldn't stick around long enough for them to tell me anything. Nonetheless, Eve listened to the serpent. He convinced her that God was holding out on them. He convinced her that God didn't want her to be all that she could be. He said, God knows that when you do eat of this, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. He was insinuating to Eve that she would be the one to determine what was good and evil, or what was right, or what was wrong. But what he didn't tell her was that she would not be able to choose the right and leave the wrong alone. So when God came into the garden, they were hid, and God called out to them, "Where are you?" Not that God didn't already know. And Adam says, "We were naked and we hid." God asked them a question. I don't know if this was a rhetorical question. We know that it never got an answer. God asked them, "Who told you were naked? Have you been eating of that fruit that I told you not to?" And Adam says, This woman you gave to me, she talked me into eating of that fruit." And God spoke to the woman. And she says, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And God said to the woman, "I will greatly multiply your sorrows and your conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he says, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of this tree of which I told you not to, cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life." And listen to what else he told Adam. "Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to you, And you shall eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of your brow shall you eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it was you taken, for dust you are, and to dust shall you return. Even though God did pronounce judgment upon them, he also demonstrated his mercy towards them and promised a redeemer to their descendants. There are some of you who think that the Old Testament is full of pronouncements of destruction, that God is an angry God, filled with wrath and anger and jealousy. Nehemiah tells us this in the 9th chapter. When they refused to obey, neither were mindful of his wonders that God had done among them, they hardened their necks and in their rebellions appointed a captain to return to bondage. God was ready to pardon. He was gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsook them not. Even when they made them a molten calf and said that this is your God that brought you up out of Egypt, God in his manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of clouds departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them the way wherein they should go. We find here that God left the light on for them. He guided them in the day with a cloud, and he guided them at night by a pillar of fire. It's in this same book we call the Old Testament, this book that Jesus read, this book from which the apostles preached their gospel. Throughout all this book, I find his love, his willingness to forgive, his kindness and mercy, his loving care towards his people. This book we call the Old Testament is filled with loving kindness and mercy.